been sponsored by Family Kaufman, Lelo Nishmas, their mother, Morris Finkel, Bas Ravitzok, Yehuda. Yud Shvat, Wednesday, the 16th of January, Rabbi Aaron Basus, Shvat.
Thank you once again for inviting me to speak to you. I like normally to speak about the Nyonim of the Moadim, to give a little bit when we come to the Yom Tov, so we have a little bit more feeling, a bit more idea of what it's all about. I know Tu B'Shvat's not a major Yom Tov, but it's still a minor Yom Tov. So first of all, let's learn a little bit of the halachas of Tu B'Shvat to see that it's not just something which happened like yesterday. It's something which is already mevusas, already booked in Shulchan Aruch and in the Gedolei HaPoskim. So the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says a machlok between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Yeah, because there's Abba Rosh Hashanim, the first Mishnah Rosh Hashanah, Abba Rosh Hashanim Heim. There's four Rosh Hashanahs, 4 days in the year which are called Rosh Hashanah for different reasons. And the Mishnah says, Beit Shammai says, that the first of Shavat is Rosh Hashanah La'ilan. Beit Hillel says, Beit Tubo, Bechamisha Asabo, on the 15th of Shavat. And the Maaseh, that's the halacha, you know, Machlok Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, the halacha is like Beit Hillel. And therefore, we take on that Rosh Hashanah La'ilan is on Tu B'Shvat. So that's already a source in the Mishnah. It's a Rosh Hashanah. It's the beginning of the year for tree. In Shulchan Aruch it says, on this day, Ein Nefilat Apayim. We do not say Tachna. In Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Siv Vav, Shulchan Aruch says, it lists all the days when we don't say Tachna. And one of them is we don't say Tachanun Tu B'Shvat. Further, the Beit Yosef writes in Siman Tafkuf Ayin Bet that we're not allowed to fast on Tu B'Shvat. A person wants to make a private fast, yeah? For whatever reason, he's not allowed to fast on Tu B'Shvat. I don't know if you know, but in this period, it's called the Shavuvim period, is from Parshat Shemot, especially in a leap year like this year, Shavuvim Tat, Shemot Va'era Bo B'Shalach Ito Mishpatim Te'umat Etzaveh. Those weeks are weeks of Teshuvah. Yeah, we say when we on Rosh Chodesh, when we say the Rikat HaChodesh, we say the Shemon Esrei, and Musaf, we say the Slichat Avonot, Vechaparat Pesha, each, it's talking about these months. This is the months of Teshuvah, these weeks leading up to Purim, from when we start Parsha Shemot. Now, we might know it's Shavuvim, we might know it's days of Teshuvah, but we don't really keep the proper inyanim of Shavuvim, which is brought down in the Arizal, and brought down in the Chidor. The real tikkun of Shavuvim is to fast every single day. Every single day in this period, one should fast from morning till night. That's what's brought down. Pei Dalet Ta'anis. 84 fasts in this period. Yeah? But it only works the fast, the Chidor says, if the fasts are Ritzufim. If it's one after the other without any break. If you fast one day and you take one day off, then another day, it doesn't work. It has to be Ritzufim. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Then obviously Shabbos not. Then next week again, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And so on and so forth. But there are days when one is not allowed to fast. We already said Shabbos you're not allowed to fast. Simchat Rosh Chodesh, you're not allowed to fast. And Tu B'Shvat, you're not allowed to fast. So even though this the tikkun of Shavuvim has to be Dafka Lidei Tani of Ritzufim, but the union of the Tu B'Shvat is so great that it does not allow us to fast on this day. Similarly, places where a chosen, somebody who's also a kala, they fast on the day of the wedding, it's written in the Mogen Avraham, if the wedding is on Tu B'Shvat, the chosen and kala, they do not fast. We see over here that it's not stam. It's not just a day which is mentioned in Rosh Hashanah, le'ila, no, but it's got practical differences for us. We don't say Tachnun, it's a day of Simcha. We don't say Tachnun on this day. We don't fast on this day. Even fast, which has become like a choiva in Klal Yisrael, the fast of a chosin has become like a choiva. Yeah? Every chosin day they fast, but not on Tu Bishvat pushes aside any inyan of tarnis and any inyan of sadness. There's a minig to be marbe ba'achilat minei perot. The Magen Avraham already brings down B'Shem Tikkun Yisachar. The Tikkun Yisachar was one of the Chachmei HaSfadim who lived in Tzfat at the time of the Beit Yosef, Rabbi Yisachar ben Shushan, and he writes, and the Magen Avraham quotes him, that the minhag is on Tu Bishvat to be marbe b'achilat perot ha'ilan. There is a tradition from the Chassidish masters, the B'nai Yisoscha, that he says, on Tu Bishvat, one should daven for a good etrog the coming year. Yeah? There's a special tefillah from the Ben Yishchai to daven for all the fruits that should come out good, and especially we should be zoche to a good etrog. And there's a remez in the Mishnah. It says, Rosh Hashanah la'ilan. The Mishnah doesn't say Rosh Hashanah la'ilanot, for trees. La'ilan, for the tree. What is the tree? Especially be davening for the etrog. It should come out a good etrog. So, what thoughts should be going through our mind at this time, at the time of Tu Bishvat? The time when we're sitting down at our table, we're having all the different types of fruits. What should we be thinking about at this time? So when you think about it, it seems to be very strange. You go out now in the streets, yeah? You look at the trees. Can you see anything? Can you see anything happening? You can't see nothing. Yeah, all the trees are bare. There's no sign of any change. There's no sprouting, no leaves, nothing. Yeah, Tu Bishvat. It's going to be this year. It's very early, especially. It's middle of January. Yeah, what do you see? So what's in Rosh Hashanah la'ilan? Why is this the new year for the trees? What's happening to the trees? Nothing. Yeah. Maybe it would be better, be more fitting to celebrate it around Pesach time. We make Birkat HaIlanot. So then we see the blossoms coming out on the trees. So let's celebrate, let's make that a Rosh Hashanah La'ilan, a special day for the trees. See over here a very, very important principle. Yeah? I want to be Magdim, this principle. The principle is the time to understand the importance of something is not when you already see it. Is before you start seeing. When it's still in the inception stage, that's the time when which is all important. The beginning, the very beginning, the Poskim say that on this time, Tu Bishvat, what is happening? There is something happening, but we don't see it. The seraph, the sap, is starting once more to enter the tree. Yeah? The juices, the nutrients from the earth, the tree gets its source from the earth. It goes into the tree and then it gets converted into leaves and into blossoms and so on and so forth. So the beginning of the tree coming to life, we don't even see it, but it's happening, yeah, is on Tu Bishvat. That time when it's a beginning, it's a new beginning, is a very, very important time. We have to pay focus, we have to focus on that time. Because if everything goes well from the beginning, then the end will be good. Yeah? There's a pasuk in Kohelet. Yeah? Tov acharit davar mereshito. What does it mean? Tov acharit davar. It's good the end, mereshito. From the beginning. Two ways to understand it. Either you understand it is the end, which is good, is better than the beginning. What's the use of a big beginning, and the end is no good? Yeah, you know the Titanic? You heard of the Titanic? Yeah? It was supposed to be an unsinkable ship, 1912. Yeah? It already had 100 years since it made its maiden voyage. It only made one voyage. Yeah? And that maiden voyage, when it was leaving Southampton, thousands of people came. It was, the ship could hold thousands of people. 1,000 people wanted to go on that maiden voyage, and thousands of people came to Southampton to see off the ship. Yeah? He didn't come back. He sank on his first voyage. Yeah? So that's Pshat. Tova Harita Bame Shito. It's better a good end than a good beginning, because you can have a good beginning, you start off with a lot of fanfare, but nothing happens in the end. Yeah? That's one explanation. But Tosfot brings down from the Medrash that Rabbi Kiva said a different explanation. He says, Tosfot Chagiga Davtet Vav Amud Aleph. Rabbi Kiva said a different explanation. Tov Acharit Dava. When is the end good? Mereshito. From the beginning. When the beginning is good. If the beginning is good, if a person puts a lot of koiches at the beginning, the end will be good. It all depends on how you start something off. The most important part of the day is the beginning of the day. The way you get up. Yeah? Bilam said, reading in the parsha. Yeah? We wake up. You just say, what are we doing over here? Start the day the Torah way. How do you start the day? It's so important. The longest tefillah of the day, Shachris. It's the longest tefillah. Yeah? Melech HaMarev is short. Yeah? In and out. Yeah? But Shachris, that's the start of the day. That's so important. Yeah? Tov Achrit Dabar Meishito. The most important day of the whole year. Rosh Hashanah. The start of the year. How you start the year, that's how the year will end. Yeah? The Gemara says, Merishit Hashana Beacharit Shana, Shana She Shrasha B'Tchiltam, Asher B'Sofa. If the year you start with davening, with tachanunim, like a rush, like a poor person, yeah, mitchanen, then that year will be a good year at the end. Yeah? It depends on how you start. We're so careful in Rosh Hashanah not to sleep, not to do anything which is meramez v'chet. Why? What's all these things? Because the Gemara says, the Yerushalmi says, man de damech v'rosh Hashanah, v'rosh shata, damech kol shata. A person goes to sleep at the beginning of the year, he sleeps the whole year. His mazel sleeps the whole year. What is the meaning of this? If you don't start the year properly, then you can't expect the year to carry on. It all depends. Tov acharit davar me'eshito. The most important time in a life, in a child's life, is when he's small. The Gemara says, "Botzin, botzin mikatfei yedia." Yeah, a little cucumber. Yeah, you can tell how it's going to grow. When you see the baby cucumber, you can tell it's growing. You see a child. Yeah, how it's how you help him, how you educate him when he's small. That's how he becomes. Yeah. So the Tosfot brings that this was taught by Elisha ben Avuya. Elisha ben Avuya told Rabbi Meir, his Talmud, yeah, that this is how Rabbi Kiva darshan this pasuk. And he said, Ubiha v'hamasa. And the masa happened with him. Listen to this masa. He became an apikoros. You know, Elisha ben Avuya, he's a Tana mentioned in the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos. Yeah, he became an apikoros. He was called afterwards Elisha Acher. He became like a different person. He's one of the four Shenichnasu de Pardes. Yeah, the four people who went into very deep, and he came out blemished. He became an apikoros, but he had a Talmud called Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir was his Talmud, and Rabbi Meir still learned from him, even after he became an apikoros, which is not something which anyone can do. But the Gemara says Rabbi Meir was able to do this, as we're going to see shortly. So he told Rabbi Meir, he said, it happened with me. What happened with me? Avuya avi hava migdoli Yerushalayim. My father Avuya was one of the great rich people of Yerushalayim. Ubiyom shebali moli, on the day of my bris, on the day of my milah, he invited all the great people in Yerushalayim, great in wealth and great entitlement. And Reb Lezer and Reb Yeshua were also amongst the invited. And they were achelin, b'shatin, shalim, mitzapchim, meragdim, everyone's eating, drinking, dancing. Reb Lezer said to Reb Yeshua, ad iren askim b'did hu, nasok b'didam. They're enjoying themselves. Let's also enjoy ourselves. How do Talmidei Chacham enjoy themselves? Speaking Torah. Yashuv v'nit asku b'divrei Torah. Yad esh min ha-shamayim. They started learning Torah, and a fire came down from Shemayim on top of their heads. V'yikifa otam. Avna Avuya said to them, Bat misor beti, you come to burn my house down? Amlo has v'shalom. Ele yoshuvim ayinu v'chozim divrei Torah mitoah l'nvim l'nvim l'ktuvim. V'yadvam smechim kintina atam misinai. The Torah was so beautiful that we were learning, it was like it was given Har Sinai. Lo be'esh nitnu, wasn't the Torah given with fire? So if a person learns Torah in the right way, there's automatically a fire, ruchni, like a fire comes down. Amar, he was very taken aback. And he said, Hoy bekach, koicha shel Torah. If this is the strength of the Torah, imit kaina ben azel Torah ani mafrisho. If this child will survive, I will make him a, send him to learn Torah. I'll send him to be a Talmid Chacham. Urufi, Shelo haita kavanato l'shamayim. Since his kavanah was not the Shem Shamayim, the ficha lo nitkayim would be, therefore the Torah did not remain. Yes, I became a Talmid Chacham, but the Torah did became. Nothing remained for me. Because since the beginning was no good, so the end also wasn't good. That's what Tosfos brings down, the happened, the story that happened. So let me ask you a question. Don't we say, la'olam yasak adam b'toyim mitzvah shelo lishmo shemitoyim shelo lishmo b'lishmo? Is a person required at all times to have perfect intentions? So Abu, they have perfect intentions. So what's the problem? He wants him to learn Torah. Okay, it wasn't for the right 100% the right reason. Why should such a tragedy, such a terrible thing happen? And the answer is that which we say is later. But when it's the inception, when it's the beginning, it has to be perfect. The beginning, if it's shalom, it might give a little bit, that is pugging the whole thing. You put a pagam, the moshel, I'll give you a moshel, yeah? If you have a little seed, yeah? And you make a little pagam in it, yeah? When that seed is planted in the ground and it grows, yeah? The tree is going to be an echdegatok. It's not going to flourish, it's not going to think, because that little pagam, because if it's a pagam at the beginning, yeah, then as it grows, the pagam gets bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you've got a tree which is already up, and you cut it a little bit, you break it a little bit, does it do anything? It doesn't do anything. It can be rectified. So when something is already grown, and then there is something wrong, then there's shelo lishma, it doesn't matter. But when it's at the beginning, the child is just starting his life, and you put in shelo lishma, then that's poigim the whole thing. That's the koyach of the beginning. So that is what Tu B'Shvat is all about. Tu B'Shvat is the beginning. In the beginning, when the tree is just, we haven't, can't see anything yet, but it's starting. We want that start to be perfect. We want that start to start in a good way. We want that start to start in the way of Simcha, in a way of Tefillah. We're davening at this time. We're davening for a good etzog, because the good etzog is dependent on Tu B'Shvat. It depends on the beginning. After if the beginning is good, that will be good. We don't have to worry about it. Let me tell you something about the Svadim. You don't know always so much. I like to bring in so that you should also know something Hogim of the Svadim. Yeah? The Ashkenazim say in the Baruch of Shemona Esra, Baruch Aleinu. You say exactly the same Baruch in the summer and winter, you only change one line. The same Baruch, Metein Talamota. Svadim, we say a completely different Nusach in the winter. We have two separate Baruchas. A short Nusach in the summer, Barchenu, we say, short, similar to yours. And in the winter, we say a very long Nusach. Very, very long nusach. But tell me something. In the winter, you see something? The winter, everything's barren. What are you davening for? What's all this for? In the summer, you see the fields, there's already grass. Pray, say, terraces. When you don't see the winter, that's everything depends. The whole year is dependent on the winter. If there's rain in the winter, if you plant at the right time, yeah, the summer's going to, automatically the summer will be good. Automatically the end will be good. It all depends. So when do you need to have the tefillah? A bumper tefillah? That's the winter. So that's when we emphasize. When we don't see nothing in the field. You go to the field now, it's barren, it's empty. You don't see nothing. That's a success. That's when you need to daven, there should be success. But when the beginning is good, the end is good. So that is the first machshava that we need to have on Tu B'Shvat. We have to know it's the beginning. It's the beginning for the trees. This is the start. We're doubting that the start should start well. There should be with Hatzlocha. There should be. It's a time of tefillah. Yeah, that there should be continued, and there should be a blessing in the fruits of the trees. The second point is brought down in Chaim Vital, and also brought down Chesed Avraham, Rabbi Avraham and Zulai, the grandfather of the Chidor. There's three types of fruits. And it says that on Tu B'Shvat we should try and get some of each type. There's three types of fruits. There's a type of fruit which you can eat the whole thing. There's no rubbish in it. Yeah? Because there's two types of rubbish in the fruit. There's the shell. Some fruits have got an outer shell. And then the rest of it you can eat. And some fruits you can eat the outside, and inside there's a pip, which is very big and very hard that you can't eat. But there's other fruits you can eat the whole fruit. There's no shell and there's no pip, or the pip is very small, you can eat it. For example, grapes. Yeah? A grape's got nothing on the outside. You pick the grape from the tree, you can eat the whole grape. The pips you can eat. They're very tiny, they're very soft. There's no an apple. You can eat the whole thing. There's nothing. Yeah? Pears. Yeah? So that's one type of fruit. But there's no psolet. The fruit is perfect. There's no psolet. Then, there's other types of fruits which you can eat the outside, but the inside you can't eat. There's a very big seed inside, like an apricot, or the plum, or the date, yeah, or the olive. Yeah, these, you can eat the whole fruit from the outside till you come to the middle. Then you have to throw it away. And then there's other types of fruits where you can't eat the outside, but you can eat the inside. Yeah? For example, all the nuts. Yeah? You take the walnuts. Yeah? You have to crack it open before you get to the... Yeah? Or the almond. Or the orange. Orange, you can eat the peel a bit. But okay, let's say orange as well. Yeah? The pomegranate. Yeah? You have to peel the pomegranate. You can't eat the peel of the pomegranate. It's impossible. Yeah? And then you get to the fruit, the juicy fruit inside. And Chaim Vital says, yeah, that these three types of fruits have as three different bechinot. The three different bechinot. The highest fruit, that means the most pure type of fruit, because you know that even the food world, there's pure and there's less pure. Yeah, in the animal world, there's more pure and less pure. Animals like birds, which don't hardly need anything to be done. Fish, we don't hardly need anything. And then they've got the bigger animals, which need a bigger tikkun. Yeah? So, it's a bit of a health advice. Okay. So fruits as well. You have the fruits which don't need anything. They're perfect. Then he says the next level of purity are the ones which you can eat everything till you get to the middle. And then the third level, the lowest level of fruit, is the ones you have to break, crack through the outer shell before you come to the fruit. So let me explain to you what this is meramez to. The Gemara says, remember I told you that Ramel learned from Elisha ben Abuya. How can you learn from him? How is it possible that you learn from an apikoiris? How is it possible? So the Gemara says two things about Ramel. One thing the Gemara says, it's also over there, Daf Yudal Amud Bet, in Chagiga. Sorry, it's in Tet Vav Amud Bet. The Gemara says, Ki atar vdim ama ami b'maver mer achar tichla v'shadi shichla lebro. He ate the date and he threw the pit out. Means he only took the good. He threw the rubbish out. That's one moshel. Then the next Gemara says, just a few lines further, the Gemara says, Remer rimen motza. He found the pomegranate. Tocho achal klipato zara. He ate the inside. He threw the shell. It's two mishalim, two different things, two different fruit. One moshel is he ate the outside. He ate the date and he threw away the pip. He threw away the inside. The second moshel, he found the pomegranate. Yeah. He took out the shell, the peel. Tocho achal, and he ate the inside. So it seems to be two different things. So Marshall says that Elisha ben Abuya, he had two problems. He had a problem with de'ot, and he had a problem with midot. He had two problems. One was his de'ot. His mind was crooked. His mind became crooked. He went inside. He went too deep, and he kaviyochel, he saw the heavens. He saw like malachim, looked like Rabboni Shel Olam. So he thought there was more than one entity up there, right? So his mind, his de'ot, his belief was affected. His belief in the Rabboni Shel was affected. That's his de'ot. Had kruma ideas, kruma hashkafas. That's a de'ot. And he also was, his midas, his behavior, the Gemara says, he went with a zoina and something. So the Gemara compares Rameh's learning from Elisha to two types of fruits. Yeah? On the one hand, yeah, he compares him to a date. Because the date on the outside is good, but the problem is in the inside. That is the deus, says the Marshal. The deus of a person you don't see. On the outside, it looks everything fine. Everything is good. But you don't see the inside, his hashkofers, and his mind is all crooked. Yeah? So that's the first thing about the Remeir. He ate the date, he ate the outside, he ate the Torah, which was on the outside. But he didn't take the pit, the clip, the psoilus, which was on the inside, the dais that he had. On the other hand, he was also compared, he also had bad midas. Bad midas, you see. A bad behavior, you see. That's begalui. Yeah? So he had Torah. Yeah? He had Torah, but he also had bad midas. That's on the outside. So that is compared to the Rimmon. And that Rimmon threw away the outside, and he ate the inside. He ate the Torah which he had inside. So when we eat the fruits on Tu B'Shvat, we have to. This is mesama to us that there is perfection. Yes, a person has to perfect himself in two ways. He shouldn't have any outside, anything bad on the outside. He shouldn't have anything bad on the inside. Yeah, he should be like the apple. He should be like the grape, which is clean completely. Yeah. The two things which have got imperfection, that's some on the inside, some on the outside. What are the two things? Midas, Hanhaga, on the outside a person should be, you know, the Olam HaKodesh in the Mishkan was made of three boxes. Yeah, it was a gold on the outside and gold on the inside. Yeah? The Indian is that a person has to be pure on the inside, that's the deus, what's in his mind, what's in his machshavas, what you don't see, and also what you do see, the outside, the hanhaga, the midas, that also has to be pure, and the person can see from the fruit, to take that limud from the fruits that we're eating on Tu B'Shvat. Yeah.